And it's time for the mayor, Derek Dobies, joining us this morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
Hey, we were on last week. You were talking about the racism public health crisis ordinance. I thought you explained that quite well, but of course, the following program, I got ripped, and they didn't care much for you either.
On that
ordinance, and I thought you explained it really, other than talking about the police and what you can do to aid and assist city employees. I mean, it's not like you're going to walk around town and shake everybody up, right?
You know, no, I don't have a magic wand.
Yeah.
And I don't think that what the intent of the resolution was to do was to anyway disparage the police, nor was it to call everyone in Jackson County a racist. I think that saying that racism exists is factual. You know, there are people who self-identify as racist, so we shouldn't muddy the waters and or dilute the fact that racism exists. It does. It's just a fact of life. And it's a problem that through conscious effort, through training, and through working to use policy, I think, to correct some of the outcomes of racism, I think that we can work to ameliorate it. So, you know, I think for those who feel threatened by, you know, talking about racism and talking about what we're going to do about racism here, I think it's important to, you know, I go all over the county, all over the city, and into different neighborhoods. I grew up in a different area that was very very white. We were comfortable growing up. I, you know, come from two public school teachers, so it's, you know, we weren't affluent, but we weren't, you know, I didn't grow up in poverty. Going to college and, you know, living in Jackson and seeing, you know, the great diversity that we have here, but also the great hardship that we have here. The fact that, you know, one in three live under the federal poverty level. And when you start to look at why some of that hardship exists and why we have generational poverty here in the city, I think that racism plays a pretty big factor, and you don't have to go far outside of Jackson County to see some of those racist policies. The redlining that drove a lot of the African-American community into a specific part of town, into the south side, predominantly into the first ward, the deed restrictions that said, you know, essentially whites only. If you're not of the Caucasian race, you can't own this home, and those are deed restrictions that you can go to the library and look up. You know, because you know, Easton Schindler, one of the volunteers on my campaign, actually wrote a school paper about it and shared it with me and shared all the research. So, you know, if you know, high school students are able to find that, it certainly exists. I think that that over time has caused a pretty big disparity in terms of generational wealth and the ability to have access to opportunity. So I think that's certainly something that we can work on, and that was really the intent of passing that resolution, starting to train us on it, starting to open up city staff's eyes, and start to work on that as a problem.
Well, thanks for re-summarizing that.
Sure.
Fireworks. I've been hearing fireworks for 2 weeks now. Are these all illegal?
Yeah. So we've put out posts about our fireworks ordinance, trying to remind people about the stipulations there. It's a couple of days before each of the, I forget how many holidays there are. You know, we do have fireworks popping off frequently. You know, it's a hard thing to regulate. Have the police dispatch. So we're asking people to be respectful of their neighbors, to be mindful of the law and the code that we have here in the city. And, you know, that can cause a lot of frustration for people that are working at different hours during the day, people that have small kids, people that have dogs that get scared with the loud noises. So, we did post some of that information to our Facebook page and to our website and put that out there, and trying to hopefully have come into voluntary compliance with that. I know it's a great time to celebrate. It's hot and people are starting to get outdoors and get antsy to celebrate, but we're hopefully people can help us with some of the noise and by following along and coming into voluntary compliance with the fireworks policies.
Yeah, there's a several day window, I guess, just past the 4th.
Yeah, it's a couple of days before the 4th and a couple of days after the 4th.
Okay.
I don't have the...
Seems like I've been hearing them for 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's been going on for quite a while. Once it gets warmed up and people start to look towards that, and those fireworks stands start to pop up and start to sell that product, that's when you typically start to see that sort of noise pick up. So,
hey, Parks and Recs, are you starting to get that up and moving slowly?
Yeah, Parks and Rec we're open in terms of the actual spaces and the playgrounds. We reopened those, starting to get that slowly back to life. I think that we're starting to look through what we're going to be able to do with some of the programming between now and the end of summer. It's kind of this awkward time where we had to make some decisions earlier on to close Nixon Pool, to do other things that simply we just wouldn't have the time to do otherwise, because things like the Nixon Pool, you got to hire on the additional lifeguard staff, have them trained, actually clean the pool, and a whole range of things that just with the timing of COVID didn't allow us to do it. But we're looking at some of the other recreational programs that we have and seeing what we can do to get some of those in place by mid to end of July as well.
So, I think there was there a planning commission meeting tonight that was canceled?
There's a planning commission meeting tonight. We actually, speaking of that, and while I'm thinking about it, just jarred my memory, one of the things that we're going to be kind of along the planning commission lines, one of the things that we're going to be announcing next week, Monday, so I'll break it here. But we're actually going forward on the July 14th meeting with creating the or moving forward with creating the MLK Corridor Improvement Authority. Similar to a downtown, it would be a TIF district, so a tax increment financing district that would capture the incremental value within that given jurisdiction. We're drawing that out. Right now, had a meeting with Arlene Robinson and some other people from the community to kind of sketch out the initial boundaries. And next week, Wednesday, probably I think at 7 o'clock, we're going to be having a Zoom meeting to kind of give a presentation, roll out what the boundaries look like. Right now, it's MLK from Franklin down to South Street, and then some little pathway down Cooper Street there, and then a couple of intersections at High Street and Prospect Street to kind of draw into this overall corridor improvement authority. And that'll really, I think, allow us to drive a lot of economic development into that corridor. We're already rebuilding the street this year from Wesley down to Morrell and putting a new intersection there. And I think the intent of that is to continue to drive the progress out of downtown and through some of the main arterial streets and MLK. You know, people have said to me that they, you know, at first they wanted the name changed to from Francis to MLK, and you know that they want to make sure that that legacy is honored and that we're making it a street fit for a king. And I think that this is going to be the tool that allows us to do that and drive that that growth and that economic development.
A lot of that whole stretch is residential. Do you see I don't know, do you see some of the blighted properties being taken down? Or
yeah, so I think what I kind of see, there's a couple of commercial intersections, and I think that there's a stretch along Prospect that we're looking to include in addition to some of the commercial developments along Cooper Street as well. But I think MLK is a very wide street, which probably doesn't need to be. Most people coming in going north-south in that area are probably punching out to Cooper Street. So I think that gives us a tremendous amount of opportunity to re-envision what MLK Street looks like, probably narrowing the street, putting a larger 10-foot path up the street there, and having a lot more green space, and then having more angled parking along the street there so that we can start to plan for what future amenities might look like within that corridor for a grocery store for the south side.
So that would include the section that runs through, past St. John's to Cooper?
Yeah, so I think it would basically go from Franklin to South Street along MLK with the properties abutting that. It probably would take Morrell out to Cooper from MLK because we're going to be putting lighting project from downtown all the way to the King Center down Morrell. At High Street, it probably would run east out to Cooper, and then Prospect would probably run east out to Cooper, and then west over to like Habitat, to Pryor's, and some of the other businesses that exist there. So you kind of not only are building out the street along MLK, but kind of the side streets that are collecting that sort of traffic into MLK. So, and you know, along, if you drive up and down MLK, yeah, there's a lot of residential and a lot of, you know, big homes that were, you know, really nice back in the day. A lot of vacant properties along there as well that provide right. A lot of opportunity for us to re-envision what that corridor looks like and whether we want green space there, pocket parks or what have you. And that'll be a conversation that we want to start next Wednesday night with defining the boundaries. You know, and then putting that forth on the 14th and taking that through to, we have to schedule a public hearing at the subsequent meeting, give notice to all the property owners, and it's a long process that probably will take us into October in terms of setting up, but that's one of the big things that's been on my to-do list, and I'm happy that we're able to move forward and help get it done.
Who will sit on the authority, and how are they selected?
They're same as other boards and commissions, recommended by the mayor and confirmed by city council. So the way that I envision setting it up is a 9-member board, similar to the DDA. There are certain requirements that a certain percentage have to be, vested residents or property owners within that within that district. But I've already talked to a number of, you know, local leaders, you know, before I went forth and putting all the materials together and writing the actual resolution and studying the Corridor Improvement Authority Act, went to, you know, Commissioner Daniel Mahoney, then ACP, and I've talked to some other new community, Paula Autry at the Henry Ford Legion South about, you know, having some people with some business experience helping out to do that, drive that economic development. And there's, frankly, there's a lot of business owners along MLK that have vested interest in their properties that sure. I think would be good to serve on that authority and help drive future growth there.
So City Hall is still closed, right?
City Hall is still closed. We're looking to open back up after the holidays on July 6th. And
okay.
Have our next meeting on the 14th.
And that will be virtual, right?
Still virtual. I think we're starting to see now, you know, I want to continue to encourage everyone to wear your masks. You know, what we're seeing now up in Lansing is what happens when we don't, you know, in the spike at, I think Harper has some 100 plus confirmed cases now. And, you know, part of our ability to safely start to reopen and have businesses reopen and start to get back to some degree of normalcy is really relies on us doing our part and continuing to practice social distancing and wear a mask when we go out in public. And I think, you know, people's the public health is relying on that, and these businesses that have been closed and shuttered for so long that now get a chance to reopen are relying on us to do our part as well, so that they don't have to see another close and another downturn in their business. So you know, we're going to be taking some extra precautions as we reopen City Hall. We've installed all of the sneeze guards and stuff like that in front of all of the entrances to the offices, and we're going to be, you know, putting up different signs to restrict how many people can get into the elevator, and some of the other processes we're still working on and fine-tuning, but it'll be a little bit different, and we're going to do everything that we can to make the kind of return to hopefully some degree of normalcy easier for the public and possible as they try to engage with their local government here as we open up.
Derek, thanks for the visit. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Derek. Appreciate it.